Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, culinary master chef and Cocoa founder, Evan Rumble.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, Doug Funkhauser and Lisa Salou. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Cocoa, live from the heart. That's a Japanese word, evidently. Evan Rumble, our guest, taught me that. Cocoa means live from the heart in Japanese. And this weekend, I had an interesting moment where I thought about living from the heart. I got to spend some time with some people that I don't really see a lot. And we had, at one point, we were all sitting in a circle and we were having casual conversation. And there were some children there. And one of the children said something to the effect of, started to make an excuse about something, and the parent teaching the child a lesson said, are you going to make excuses or are you going to win? Because losers make excuses and winners win. And the child said, that's right, because there's no reason for a loser to make excuses. And then another adult said, there's no reason for winners to make excuses. And then another adult said, right, winners don't make excuses. They just win. And I sat there for a moment, and then I said, I have to say something. And so I said, well, actually, if you ask me, I think there are winners that make more excuses than some losers. And everybody got into it and looked at me and said, well, what do you mean? Why would they make excuses? I heard all this stuff. And I said, okay, all right, I'll tell you. I said, there are some winners that win and then say, I started wrong. Or I shouldn't have gotten an A. I should have gotten an A+. Or I should have gotten 100%, not 99%. Even when they're the highest grade in the class. Or there are some winners that said, well, my footing was wrong, and they might have won first prize. Or, and I went on like this for a while, and there are some people that say, well, I actually ended up putting too much salt in it when everybody was saying it's really delicious. And I said, I think I hear more excuses from winners than I do from losers. But I do hear excuses from people who have lost. And so what ends up happening is that we have potentially winners all over the place that are portraying themselves as losers in the world, whether they have been dealt a great hand and they can't see it and they consider themselves losers, or they're told they have to get an A+, an A is not good enough, or whether they've been dealt a hand that's been very difficult and hard for them to handle, and some of them give up and they use the excuses as a way of just living the rest of their life from their head. And so most people are probably living from their head, from their brain, from how they think things are supposed to be or they should have been, when maybe they're exactly the way they're supposed to be. And maybe we might even be grateful to find out that when we start living from our heart, things might be more perfect than they've ever been. I can't wait to share a quick story about our guest when we come back, tying into that and then getting into a conversation with our guest, Evan Rumble. And then later on, live music here in the studio. Of course, it's going to be bluegrass. Can't wait. All on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sierra Campbell, and Alan Roderick Jones on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. You can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Leisure. And Mark, before you say it, I know that I put too much salt. That was me. Actually, several of them were me.
No. Yours was too much garlic.
Oh, that I do. But it's good, though. I like it that way. It's perfect.
But all listening to all of that adult talk is why I've been saying that I came to the realization that I haven't been very good at being an adult. So I stopped.
Thank you. I actually have something that I want to add on that, but another show. Let's bring that up on another show, because we've got so much to talk about with Doug. And I also want to preface this because we've just started working again more with our producer, Mark Skelton. Happy to have him on board and here in the studio.
Thank you, Mark.
And he brought Evan Rumble to us. And shared so many great stories, like he's doing this, and he's going to do this, and all that. And I couldn't wait to talk to him. And then I spoke to him, because the guy that Mark Skelton described came, in my mind, had to have either come from money or a top-notch school education, and had it all going for him, because how does one do all that otherwise? And I made somewhat of an assumption. And then I talked to Evan, and I'm getting emotional, because Evan, then I asked him, where does this all come from? And he shared. And today he's going to share some of that story with us, as he has learned to kakoa, live from the heart. He is a master culinary chef. He's a life changer, and he's the founder of Kakoa Path. Welcome, Evan Rumble, to the show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Gosh, where do we start? Okay. I've got a list, if this will help. Let's start with this, because this is something that a lot of people have trouble accepting later on in life when they come to find out. So Evan was given up for adoption.
Yes.
Is that a good place to start?
Yes, we can start there.
When you were a baby.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you went into foster homes.
Yes, I did.
And though you ended up being adopted later on, you were still a child. You were still very young, but you remember what? You don't remember a lot, but you remember what?
More than anything, what really stands out was just the lack of parental love. Mm. I feel as Evan's children, it's like, where's my mom and dad? Where's my mom and dad? Mm. And for me, since there was other foster children, it just didn't seem to be there. So what I kind of fulfilled myself with was creating things I loved, playing with like Legos or, puzzles, or just like kind of just doing like fun little things. So I kind of had to find my own love.
Mm. And wow, well, you found your own love and you're creating things and helping other people create things. So potentially there's the foundation of the work you're doing now, but the foundation grows. Gosh. Okay. So where to? Do we go to the homeless part?
We can do that. We can go there. Yes, I feel through the culinary career, a lot of chefs go in and out of different restaurants, and there was a chunk of that, of my life in finding myself in that place, and my ego or my pride didn't allow me to express to my friends or my family that I wasn't doing good. I wasn't making it. And to the point where I'm like, I can't tell them. So I'm going to rather sleep behind this dumpster or sneak in this car to sleep tonight rather than ask for help. Hmm. And that was something challenging at the time.
You described to us, you came from being a chef to some really big people out in the world, lots of money, some really nice restaurants. You weren't like rolling hamburgers somewhere, hot dogs.
I worked at some pretty nice restaurants, but my passion for being a chef was to be a creator. And so once you learn your knife skills and terminology in a kitchen, you really want to go off and either one, start your own restaurant. I liked the ideology of becoming a personal private chef. And so that's now I got to meet some pretty amazing people down this path.
And so down that path, you go from job to job, and there's sometimes there was a moment where you didn't have a job, and that's how you ended up.
Yes.
Okay. And is it within that time frame that you ended up in jail?
Yes. And that kind of came down to, you know, being homeless. And eventually I did get another part-time job. And I unfortunately made an unwise decision to steal from my job, which did land me a little short amount of time in jail.
Yeah, not so short, actually. Did you say 4 months or something?
4.5 months, yeah.
That sounds like a heck of a long time to me.
It is a heck of a lot, but it's short compared to other people that I've met in that place.
Okay, well, it's there that we encounter a very interesting character and a very interesting experience. Now, actually, you were doing something special while you were there. You were just being you.
That's right.
And you were spotted. You were, in a sense, rewarded for that. What were you doing?
Yes.
That got your attention.
Yes. In there, you can't have jobs. So I actually was a cook in there. They call it the officer dining room. But off to the side of that, I'm an artist. I'm a great illustrator. I've been wanting to work with Disney and Pixar, but eventually I took my art to the canvas of a plate. However, there was a moment in jail where we're in our bunks and this big guy with tattoos on his face is like walking over towards me. And I was so scared. I was like, what did I do wrong? And, you know, sometimes things happen in a place like that. You know, guys get jumped and I'm like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? And this big burly dude goes, hey, brother, I heard that you're a good artist. And I was wondering if you can just draw some flowers on this envelope so I can send some love notes to my wife and my kids. And I was just, oh, my gosh. I instantly told him, I'm like, man, I'm sorry to, like, stop you, but I think I have to go to the restroom because I was seriously that scared. I think I peed my pants a little bit. But the golden nugget that I instantly took from that literally the next day was, like, why did I judge him? Why did I assume he was this angry, judgmental person rather than looking at him as a human being, which is a loving, compassionate being? Right. Why did I instantly assume by his looks?
Well, also where you were I'm sure you were not in your best place as well. So let's not judge ourselves in the moment. I mean, you actually took that scenario and turned it into something. This story is quite amazing, actually. What how did it change you?
Well, I don't know. It kind of goes way back. And like you said, there is a lot. And so I can't really express it all. But, you know, through high school, middle school, everything, I was littler. I got picked on a lot. And then those incidents with jail. And everywhere I see so much judgment by appearance, you know. And I kind of looked in the mirror and I was like, I'm doing that too. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to make this world a better place. Can you imagine if we didn't judge anybody and we eliminated our egos and our fears and just came back to those young, compassionate kids that we came into this world to be in the first place, you know? So that's what I kind of took from it. It was just, you know, I like that Michael Jackson song that goes, if you want to make the world a better place, you better take a look yourself and make a change. So I really just looked in a mirror for a long time after I got out of jail and I was like, what do I want to be the change you wish to see, right? And I was like, I want to be fearless. I want to be non-egotistical. And I just want to be so much love or a beacon of light and be inspiring to people to live the same way.
Wow. When we come back, there's so much more we're going to talk about. And actually, you know, what came to mind is that man could have potentially not approached you in thinking that you might judge him because you wanted to draw, he wanted you to draw flowers for his wife and for his kids.
Right.
So we just never know. And as we were talking before, there are those that want to change the world and all that. And there are some people that go up in the mountains and are used to do that and all that to find God or to find themselves. And in that moment, it almost feels like...
Yeah, I didn't have to climb the mountain. I just had to be there in that moment at the right time.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. And I look forward to all the rest of what you're going to share. And I look forward also to some bluegrass music a little later on with Doug Funkhauser and Lisa Salu, all on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
Hey guys, so I'm here to tell you about a little thing called the DNA Institute. You probably haven't heard of it yet, but I wanted to let you in on it because it completely changed my life. A few years ago, I was about 30 pounds overweight. I wanted a career, good friends, a loving family, and financial success, and unfortunately, I didn't have any of it, so I ate. Within 6 months, the DNA Institute made me lose 30 pounds. This is not a lie. That completely happened. It doesn't matter what exactly your situation is or how much you have to lose. The Institute will get you to your goal weight. It's not a supplement or a diet pill. It's a real doctor-prescribed custom medical treatment. It rebalances your hormones, heals your metabolic and digestive system, and makes your higher functioning brain so loud that it becomes impossible to overeat when you're full. Whew, it's a mouthful, but yours won't be. So many of my friends and family turned to the DNA Institute after they saw my success, and all of them lost their desired weight, ranging from 8 to 60 pounds. I promise you, this is different than anything you've ever tried before. They've been in Beverly Hills since 1982. You can even give them a visit, drop by, or just head to their website, DNA.com, that's DIENNET.com, to learn more and get your customized formula made today.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Evan Rumble. And, you know, I don't know why I'm so emotional about all of this. And I'm sitting across from you and I see your eyes and you are too. You experience this, but in a sense, you know, there, but for the grace of God, you know. I complained all my life about my parents, and I had them. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And now I think differently. So speaking of parents, you served your time, mm-hmm. and you got out of jail.
I did.
And then you talked to, was it your stepdad?
I just call him Dad.
Okay, your dad.
But yeah, well, you know, we had the conversation, like, what are you thinking, this, that, and...
Wait, you told him everything.
Yeah.
Which you hadn't before, right?
Well, in the midst of the process of being in jail, you know, we have our phone conversations. Mm. I told him the story and the process, but once got out in person,
yeah.
I was like, this is how I felt. And a bunch of the adoption things came up of just like, I was always scared of you and I didn't know I knew you, and it was really hard to relate to them. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big part of why I didn't share with them. I was like, I was ashamed you adopted me and you guys held this like high bar for me. And I was just like, I didn't make it. So I was just ashamed and embarrassed. But once my dad says, we unconditionally like love you and you just gotta be open. That you know, brought a tear out. I was just like, man, this is a huge lesson for me. Just to be open and honest can make so much happen. And I feel a lot of us live in fear of just like, I can't express myself because I fear what society or parents or friends or boyfriend, girlfriend, wife will think of what I'm actually thinking or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. But from my experience of moments like that, when you're authentic and real and love happens, what happens then if we did that like on a mass level, you know?
So you learned something and your dad learned something.
Absolutely.
What was that?
For me, it really allowed me to eliminate my fear of expressing myself and being true and authentic regardless of my situation. And as for my dad, I don't know what he learned, but it most definitely made our bond and our relationship more strong.
Because you talked about things that you were feeling since you were a child when you first got adopted. I mean,
A lot came up, and that was a long conversation, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like something that had been wanting to come up.
Yes. And, you know, there's those moments with father, son, you know, later down the road when you're 26 and he's married, has his kids. Dad, if you had to do it different, what would you do? He's like, I do regret some things, you know, such as the spanking, this, that, the timeouts. I've now learned, you know, and this is what I would do different. So if you have kids, this is my advice, right? And I think those are beautiful moments. So that was one of those moments.
So you've actually had experiences where you've shared your story with people that you thought should know, and they've reacted in a way that you've been hurt by.
Absolutely. I'll keep it quick, but you know, in that process when I got out, there was a group of friends down in San Diego, and they said, you need to find new friends because we don't trust you anymore. You went to jail. I'm going to judge you for that. And I had a beautiful experience with a life coaching program that taught me to be authentic and real, just straight up out of the bat. So any new friends that was kind of accumulating, I was like, hey, you know, I really like our vibe. I really like where this friendship is going. There's something that I'm not so proud of, but I feel I need to tell you in case it comes up later from somebody else. And I want to create a really beautiful trust bond between us. And so I share them with my jail story and the experiences and what I learned out of that. And they're like, you're very brave and thank you. And in return, they share like, you know, I had this abortion or this, that, and we're just totally like real. And there's nothing more satisfying, no success, no money, no materialistic thing than just connectings with somebody and feeling that unconditional love from a complete stranger. Like it's unbelievable.
Hence, Cocoa, how'd you stumble upon that name or that word?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. So I'm going to kind of just go back a little bit. In my culinary career, I ended up stumbling on a lavender farm, and we host retreats every weekend. And my observation of these retreats was, okay, they do yoga, they eat, they do journaling, they walk the labyrinth, they center themselves. I'm like, I want to host retreats that does more. What happens when we realign ourselves? Can we give back after that, right? So it kind of came to me in a cup of tea. I looked down and—
Was it lavender tea by any chance?
It was not. No.
But you are on a lavender couch, I have to say. This is really interesting.
Yes, yes, I love that. It paired well. So in the midst of this conversation with somebody else at the lavender farm, I'm like, I want to do this. I want to do da-da-da. I looked down and the little mantra on the teacup said, be the light, spread the light. And I kid you not, 6 seconds turn around, this kid turns around, there's a lighthouse on the back of his shirt. And I was like, lighthouse, be the beacon, be the light, spread the light.
Wow.
And so I found a partner that I really wanted to do with. She's just amazing, teaches yoga at some really awesome studios and everything else. Hi, Karen, if you're listening.
Is this Karen Wiggins?
It is.
Oh, hi, Karen. Love to meet you someday.
Yes, yes. And so we were all gung-ho on the lighthouse thing, but of course, going into the business aspect of it, Google the lighthouse, and there's like 50 million Christian groups and this and that. And so the advice was, think of something different, beacon, light, you know. So we started playing with words, and then we actually came up with a word called Kokoro, which is mind, body, and spirit in Japanese. And then, of course...
Kokoro.
Okay. And then in the midst of that, Same town, San Diego, everything. Some guy already had the name. And so we started playing with another word and we found Cocoa and it wasn't taken. And we're like, that resonates. It feels great. And so that's where we're at.
I think that was perfect. Live from the heart. That's what it means,
yeah.
Right?
So it kind of comes down to like the spiritual realm of just trusting in the path, right? And it's just like, okay, all these things happen, even though we're scratching our heads, like, oh gosh, we have to redo Instagram, redo website, redo Facebook 3 times, but here we are with the most perfect name, and we own it, and it's beautiful, and I love it.
Well, you own it in more ways than one. You own it.
Well, that's what I meant.
yes. So you are creating experiences where people could do, actually, in a sense, what you just did. I think this is a great foundation, and we're honored that you chose us as the first show that you've ever shared that story or that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so thank you. And so people that come to your retreats, what could they expect? Well, this is what they could expect.
Yeah, kind of hence the little phrase, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So what happens at the Cocoa House stays at the Cocoa House. We really create a safe environment and a bubble for you to be authentic and to be real. We do several things. We do have not only nourishment and practice with me of how to cleanse your body through food. But then there also is things that you need to clear, such as fear, ego's past trauma more than anything. So part of the segment of the retreats is you go work with a life coach. Mm. And then after bringing that up, you go get a massage and you get a gong bath, which is magic.
Wow.
Yeah. It's okay. Super amazing. And so more than anything is it's what we want to do is just really bring that up and let you release it. And that's what we wanted to bring different to the table. I don't feel there's that safe container for people to always talk about that. I mean, sometimes married couples, they go to therapists. You do have life coaches. Not only people have that or the time. And so a lot of our retreats are sometimes just like one-nighters. It's like, let's dive deep and get you there and then get you back to life, you know? So, but if you want to go on a deeper journey later next year, we will start hosting our week-long retreats. Come out to Bali or Costa Rica with us and really get away from your element and let's tap into your body.
Wow. You, the food thing, since you were a culinary chef,
yes.
What are you bringing to that food-wise?
Oh,
obviously not too much garlic.
Oh,
salt.
Oh, oh, there's never too much garlic.
Oh, thank you.
You're master of change. Oh, there you go. I was going to say,
he said there's never
chef.
Too much garlic.
So we're really going to pair custom dishes for you. Brief moment during my culinary career is I did get a cook for Cirque du Soleil performers.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, what in the world do you guys eat? Because they're super active all the yeah. time. And I, from my mentality was, oh, vegan, plant-based, super healthy. And then it blew my mind when they're like, we eat for our blood type. And I was like, what?
No.
I didn't even know that was a thing, oh. right? And then further down investigating this, you can actually pair meals with your astrological sign as well.
So, oh, really?
If you want to get on a regimen that brings you to the utmost power of what you're capable of being, I can do custom meal plans, which I do right now. I have 4 clients that I do this with. I custom create meals for your blood type as well as your astrology.
Wow. That's interesting. Now, is this something you do separate from, like, some people can hire you to do that?
Yes.
You're busy with Cocoa Path, but...
I am, and but, other things being spread so thin.
That's reinventing the Happy Meal.
Yes, yes. Oh, I like that.
Nice!
Reinventing the Happy Meal.
Mark, that's brilliant.
Stamp it.
Did you write it down? It exactly recorded.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. We got it. We got it.
We got it on tape. Well, yeah, there are a lot of things, because you want to build homes for... people and you want to feed kids and
right.
What would you feed kids if you could, like?
Well, that's funny because I spent all morning with my friend Mike and he runs something called the Greatness Foundation. They do every 3 months they go down to Mexico and they do home builds. So in the process of building Cocoa, it's like I want to do everything as we were talking about before the show.
Yeah,
I really am having faith in the ripple effect.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I want to do that, I really feel the base of the issues. I don't know how to really word this, but I really just want people to get back into their compassion, their love. And I hope they go out in the world and spread that. I wish I could focus and build homes for everyone that's in poverty. I wish I can feed every single one of the children in need, but I feel it's not just me. It needs to be all of us. And so that's where I'm going to start.
I feel like you've obviously already started, but from sharing from the heart like you did here today, I think potentially you've also inspired a lot of people. I mean, you've inspired me. I mean, you got me all emotional, but yeah. I mean, how about this? You built the thing. You remember when you were a kid and you said you had to build things you felt in order to get the love?
Right, right.
You built it, and that's you.
Yeah.
It's built.
Yeah.
And now let the love pour in, because the more you let it in, man, the more you'll be able to share it.
If your cup's overflowing, you share it, you know, or there was a chef thing, like if you have too much food, just build a bigger table.
Nice.
Right? Don't throw it away, just build a bigger table.
Nice.
So, I like that.
We could talk all day, and I have a feeling we will talk many times over, and I look forward to that. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. In this next segment, we're going to have our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, joining us for the Ask Dorothy segment. We're going to talk a little bit more with Evan Rumble, and then we're going to have live music here in the studio, Doug Funkhauser and Lisa Salu. So looking forward to more here on the Life Changes Show when we come back.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, recorded live from Studio NoHo. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Barbara Morrison, and Kyle Cease at our archive on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter, at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark. I'm breathing easier with our guest, Evan Rumble.
All right.
We have connected with our hearts, all of us. Evan Rumble and Cocoa live from the heart. If you want to learn more about him and about, is it Karen Wiggins, right?
Yes.
And about Cocoa Path, you go at cocoapath.com. Cocoa Path is K-O-K-O-A-P-A-T-H.com. And Evan, you're having a retreat coming up in October.
We are down in northern San Diego, next to a beautiful lavender farm, is the one that I told you before.
Yeah.
That's actually the property behind it.
And, yeah, beautiful property, actually.
I'm not really going to get into the details about it, but it's called Sweet Euphoria, and we're tapping into the five senses. And the theme of it is, since we are coming into fall, of shedding your leaves, sinking your roots, and getting ready to hibernate for the winter to blossom into the new year.
Okay. And actually, speaking of San Diego, every week you do workshops?
Yes. If you are close to San Diego on Sundays, about 4:15, you can join us at Gather Yoga Studio. Or on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock, you can join us at Ponto Beach and do a nice yoga session, enjoy some food by yours truly, overlooking the sunset of beautiful San Diego.
On the beach?
It's on a cliff overlooking the beach, yes.
Oh, wow.
And watch the dolphins and everything after, and then we sit around and talk about life and connect our hearts.
And did you say you make food for that?
I do.
Oh, wow. Okay. And can we find out about that for those of us who want more information? Is it at Cocoa Path?
You can find Cocoa Path or follow us on Facebook as well as Instagram.
And Facebook, you're what? Who? Just Evan Rumble or Cocoa Path?
Oh, no. Just look up Cocoa.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Just Cocoa.
Yep.
On Facebook. Okay. Evan, how do you feel?
I feel absolutely honored and overwhelmed with gratitude to have this moment to share not only with you, but with the world of being what I've been through. And I hope it creates a ripple effect of unconditional love for everyone.
It already has. Thank you so much. Pleasure. Evan Rumble and Cocoa Path. Oh, and now our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Jonathan and I live in San Francisco. Although I am 75, I feel like I am 45. In fact, some of my friends who are 45 or younger act like they are dying and constantly telling me how old they feel. I work full-time as an energy healer, and I love my life. Almost all of my clients and many of my friends are depressed and talk about how much they hate their jobs. Many say this is the end of times with all the earthquakes, volcanoes, and global warming. They say that they wouldn't care if the world would end tomorrow. Some are showing up with diagnosis of cancer and other incurable diseases, and almost everyone tells me that they are exhausted. What's going on, and what can I do to help?
Dear Jonathan, The whole world is undergoing a shift of consciousness, and major changes are occurring everywhere. The only real constant in this world is change, and yet human beings majorly resist change and don't know how to handle the flow of information that is shared on the news media and social media platforms 24 hours a day. There is much truth being revealed about governments and religion, and many people are becoming more fearful and angry and simply don't know what to do. In the past, when there were no smartphones, with news and social media available 24/7, many people lived in a cocoon and were not as affected by what was going on all around them. Now that they are inundated with all kinds of information, many people are very, very afraid. Fear is exhausting, and I believe all dis-ease is created from the place of fear, so it's not surprising that you know many who are getting sick. As an energy healer, it's important to assist your clients in choosing to focus on the good in the world. In addition to the energy healing you are doing, you may wish to provide your clients with group gatherings where you assist them in focusing on the positive through guided meditations. Gatherings like this can help people interact with one another and not withdraw from the world. And thank you, Jonathan, for the work you are doing.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And with that, we will take a quick break and come back with our musical guests, Doug Funkhauser and Lisa Salu.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Evan Rumble. And now for something completely different, we have some bluegrass music. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, but I don't think we've ever had bluegrass on the show before.
I don't think we have.
And it's been long overdue. I love bluegrass music. And incidentally, interestingly enough, our guest, Evan, said that his mom was from Kentucky, where bluegrass is from. And so our guests, Doug Funkhauser and Lisa Salu, are here. They are singers and songwriters and, of course, major bluegrass aficionados. And so one of the first questions I asked them when they came in was, of course, you're from Kentucky. And well, they're from a part of Kentucky. Well, Lisa's from a part of Kentucky called Irvine, California. And Doug is from a part of Kentucky called New York City. Welcome, Doug and Lisa,
thank you very much. We're happy to be here.
Very happy.
All the way from Irvine and New York City. Okay, so how does a nice girl like you from Irvine...
You know, I was just thinking, it's happy music.
Nice.
It's really happy music. It's so uplifting. You can't help but want to bounce up and down and... You know, it's from the heart. You said something about it. It's just, it's from the heart.
It's honest.
It's honest.
Oh. We know a chef that makes happy food. That could match happy music.
The tie-in is amazing.
Yeah. It's often happy music about sad topics, though.
Interesting.
This is true.
Interesting. So this is, on the one hand, the guest was all about live from the heart, and this is music.
Music from
the
heart.
From the heart. Mm-hmm. Very much so. And actually, and how about you, Doug? The music connection in New York and bluegrass?
Well, I went to spring break in Virginia when I was a young man, and I met a young woman, and she played banjo, and we got to be good friends, and I learned from her.
Wow. Okay.
And I found out there was quite a bluegrass following in New York at the time. I just didn't know about it. So I began to take lessons and went to different jam sessions and realized there was a lot of bluegrass going on in Brooklyn at that time. Believe it or not.
Right. I wouldn't have known. I do believe you, and if you say so. And you know, by the way, I have to say, it's a wonderful thing that you had that relationship because you obviously needed to connect with his instrument.
Obviously, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then it's a wonderful thing that that relationship broke up because you obviously needed to meet with this beautiful woman.
Absolutely. And we met at a bluegrass festival. It's the
banjo fiddle, Topanga Banjo and Fiddle, that's held every year.
Topanga Banjo and Fiddle contest.
Oh, what a coincidence. And Doug, you play banjo, and Lisa?
Coincidence, huh?
I play mandolin.
You play mandolin, okay.
And we were traveling in the same group of people, but we hadn't met. And we were introduced by a friend, and we saw each other, and we lowered our sunglasses, and it was love at first sight.
And I followed him around shamelessly for the rest of the day.
Oh,
and we've been awesome. Together since.
Yes. Oh, yes. And actually, you just recently...
Oh, we just recently got married at the Topanga Banjo and Fiddle this year, May 20th. And so we were able to... Be able to get married, have our celebration, and do our betrothals at the banjo fiddle, which was awesome. It was just awesome with our friends, and yeah, it's such a celebratory, happy music. It made complete sense to us, and so I'm so glad people came out and enjoyed it with us.
Well, we're gonna get to enjoy some happy music. What are we gonna hear first?
We're gonna do a square dance.
A square dance.
Yeah,
a square dance.
Yeah. So bluegrass square. I wrote this.
No, I'm just. I mean, like.
Yeah,
that's,
square dance.
That's cool.
Well, you know why square dances even exist? It's so that the your neighbors and you could get close, without having any scandal. So the public would hold a big square dance, and all the people would play, and people got to actually dance with each other, and be close without it being a problem, you know, so because there was affection in the dancing, but the dancing, as we all know, dancing is a blast, right? So that's how they would do it amongst the country folk, and then it would be organized dancing. So yeah, that's part of.
I'm learning so much tonight.
Yeah, how about that then?
I had no idea. Thank you, Lisa. So you've written a square dance. So this is about what?
Well, it's called.
Go ahead and get a little squeeze.
You're going to hear it. Oh, is that? You bet you. You're going to hear it in the score. It is a happy song. It's got a lot of interesting parts to it. I kind of think that callers that do the square dances, they have callers, and that's how you know what to do, the do-si-do, and do whatever you're going to do. I think they were the first rappers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And are you going to call? I'm
just going to sing the song.
You're going to sing the song?
Yeah, but there's a caller in it. I'm not, I'm not quite a rapper.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Okay.
Here is Doug Funkhauser on banjo, Lisa Salu on mandolin, performing Dance of the Woods, live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Sun underneath is taller and the water flows down the crease of a mountain high. When it's gone till the next year goes, picking up seeds and sowing them low. Sun shines up as the day is long, and we'll be swinging in the morning song. Oh, my honey green, oh, my honey, a fiddle is tuned in an ancient strum. Frog on a bow and a titan heel, hank of a horse and a mongrel it comes from. Skin bones and a cat cut strings, bringing up the sound of an ancient ring. Beaming sunset to land, glow the car is swinging and away we go. Chicken and we'll all be fed. Day is long and for turn tonight, we'll be swinging in the pearly light. Coming to my feminine rescue, take a walk to the tree of old. Prayer moon rising, setting us in golden dawn. Will spread wings above, and we'll be swinging in the light of love. Dawn will spread her wings above, and we'll be swinging in the light of love. Dawn will spread her wings above, and we'll be swinging in the light of love.
Fun part.
A little saucy.
Tree and yeah. Steph had to
in the woods. Dance of the woods. It could be dance in the woods.
Dance in the woods.
In the woods.
Very pagan, actually.
Doug Funkhauser and Lisa Salu. You know, actually. This whole show has been special. So we've like I mentioned earlier, happily connected more with our producer Mark Skelton, who's gotten a lot more involved, and so his wife Courtney Jersick Skelton joined in the fun by introducing the two of you to us, mm-hmm. And so thank you, Courtney. Love you, and so but what's interesting is that. She knows you from a whole different kind of world. We can't really talk about it too much, but how do you pronounce it? Le Grassou.
Yeah. And we just make beauty every day.
You make beauty every day. Yeah, and night, with music at night. And during the day, it's textiles.
Yes, yeah.
Textiles.
Isn't that what it is?
It is.
It is, yeah. Like fabric for furniture.
Hand-screened, hand-dyed, hand-painted.
We have our own line of textiles. Yes. That's right. It's a boutique line. And it was founded in 2004, and it's been very successful. We actually had some of our work in the White House in the previous administration.
Oh, really?
So,
wow!
It's going very well
in the treaty room.
And you make some of your textiles are made from hemp. And some of them are made from bluegrass?
Is that right? From bluegrass, that's correct.
Okay.
Very good.
And lavender.
And lavender, yeah.
Of course. All right, so we get to hear another song. Now, this song has a story, too, actually. Is it where you met? Or
it's where Lisa lived when we met, and it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. It's high on a mountain overlooking Topanga and the Pacific Palisades. Mm-hmm. It's a place called Henry Ridge.
Henry Ridge in Topanga.
Yep. I wanted to write a upbeat, happy song about going to Henry Ridge.
Shout out to Henry Ridge.
Well, the funny thing, too, is that we know so many people in Topanga. And actually, I thought everybody in Topanga knew each other. Now, you two lived in Topanga.
And we didn't know each other.
We didn't know each other.
And then somebody said, and you were in bluegrass festivals together.
Yeah.
Okay, so then what happened? I have to know this.
We were introduced by a friend, and she said, "You might not know each other. This is Lisa Salu. This is Doug Funkhauser." And we both lowered our sunglasses and looked at each other and had a moment of spark.
Yes, a moment of spark. We did. Do we?
And you both knew.
We knew, yeah.
We both knew.
We knew.
I see the two of you are trying to decide, do we say this or not? So we'll just leave it
leave it at that.
And then you made music together.
Doug actually wrote a song called Baby Take Off Your Sunglasses.
Aww.
Which was pretty awesome.
Aww.
Yeah, it was, and it was true.
And you did.
I did.
And then you probably didn't stop there. But anyway, actually, before we... And then Dance in the Woods.
Then there was a Dance in the Woods.
Oh, wait. Actually, though, there is one more thing, actually. You play with a bunch of other people.
Yeah, well,
Lisa.
We both have different bands that we play with, but I am part of an all-female string band called Sugar in the Gourd. And that song is actually on one of our records.
Oh, and that record is called Sugar in the Gourd.
Sugar in the Gourd, yeah.
And that website for that record is
Sugar in the Gourd Band.
Sugarinthegourdband.com.
Sugar in the Gourd is the name of an old-timey tune, and you can kind of decide what it's about.
I heard of Turkey in the Straw, but Sugar in the Gourd, okay.
Sugar in the Gourd, it's either about... You know,
I think I know.
Stuff you do in the woods or the other good stuff you do in the woods.
Oh, wow. Keeps taking us into the woods. and then you, Doug, you work with other bands as well.
I work with a band called Killing Casanova, which is kind of a progressive, swampy, tonk type of band. And Lisa's the mandolin player in that as well.
We're both in that band, yeah. Killing Casanova.
And,
nice.
We have a band called Henry Ridge Ramblers. And
Henry Ridge again.
Okay. I'm in another effort called Flap and Scratch, which does a lot of flat and scrug tunes.
I have no idea what that is, and someday I'd love to hear it. Maybe at your house at the party we've talked about.
That would be fantastic.
Okay. In the meantime, we get to hear Henry Ridge Ramble.
And in this song, we actually tickle a friend of ours' song, Tim O'Gara, whose album I produced actually quite a few years ago. But... we tickle one of his tunes in the middle of this. So
okay, well here is
bluegrass
Doug,
term there.
Doug Funkhauser and Lisa Salu performing Henry Ridge Ramble live on the Life Changes Show here at Studio Noho. Thank you.
Hoops and turns, I tell you, sir, I tell you, girl, I never learn. Hoops and turns, I tell you, sir, I tell you, girl, I never learn. I hope when you know too much, you'll come and dance with me.
Well, I'm going up on Henridge to a little place I know. I've got me a girl who's waiting there with a guitar and banjo. I'm going up on Henridge to a place I like to go. And when I get to Henridge, I'm gonna sing every song I know.
Nice. I felt like I was unprepared for that one. I felt like I should have had one of those scraper things.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, why didn't we think of that? What are those things called, by the way?
Washboard.
Next time we come washboard. As guests, we'll bring a washboard for you.
Yes. Thank you. That would be great. And the scraper thing.
And the scraper.
Yeah, and a drumming thing for Mark. I mean, we all could have gotten into that.
Yeah.
And where can people hear? Like, where do they go? Do you have someplace on Facebook where they could go to know where you're going to perform next?
I know. We were just talking about, we just did a couple of gigs, so we don't have anything on the books quite yet.
Well, let us know.
We do bluegrass gigs, private bluegrass gigs, too. I mean, we have a really fun time doing that because people are just so excited to have, you know, actually live bluegrass.
Yeah.
And some of the oddest, strangest parties that we get invited to, you know, in a good way.
So. Okay, we'll leave that one right there. And we had so much fun
with
the two of you.
Thank you,
Doug Funkhauser, Lisa Salu, thank you so much. Thank you. And once again, thank you, Evan Rumble. What a show. With big thanks to Mark Skelton and to Courtney Jersick Skelton. And of course, we want to thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great.
Thank you, Brent.
Thank you, Brent.
And on behalf of our executive producer Dorothy Donahue and our producer Mark Legere, I am your host, reminding you that as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.